It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, and here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Good to see my co-host and friend, Captain Mike Ward. Uh-oh, what happened? That mic is not working again. No, I don't know what we've done with this mic. Here, we're going to switch mics here midway through.
We're going to put Mike on
there
another mic.
There you go. Now okay. It's working perfectly.
Can you hear me now?
I got you now. Got you loud and clear. All right.
You want to turn it off again.
No, I might. It depends on what you say. Before we even got started with the show this morning, of course, you and I are bouncing around some turkey stories, but we're going to talk a lot of fishing on today's show. We're going to talk with Captain Charlie Gray at Gray Gulf Charters, also Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, going to join us later on in the show. But just the few minutes here of this, of turkey time, you and I kind of had the same response here that we hadn't killed since last show, but I've been in turkeys and goblins. Other than a couple days, I've had some really good days still.
Yeah, I mean, I had a real good day last week, Friday. And then Saturday, that front came through, and it was blowing 30 miles an hour, and it was tough. Now, I heard a few turkeys, but I never got on a turkey.
Right.
And then Sunday, my grandson was with me, and we got on a turkey and gobbled about 5-6 times and flew down, gobbled 5-6 times. I heard him drum a few times, and he was gone the other way.
Huh.
So, you know, that's been my hunting for the week.
You know, we talked about last week that this last week here, or I guess – no, the 15th, so the middle of the month, yeah. So this last week is the peak of nesting for turkeys in Alabama.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I'm seeing, so my answer to that is yes. I'm seeing hens that are slipping away from gobblers, absolutely, and still a few hens hanging out with the gobblers on into the morning. I'm seeing both
things. Right. Same here.
So
same here.
But so in another week or so, this next coming week.
We hope.
We hope. That's for sure. But I've been in turkeys. It's been good. It's been all situational issues that kept me from shooting some more turkeys. So.
Hey, look, I've had a good year. If nothing else happens, I'm happy.
That's good. All right. Yep. Here's one of the biggest fans I know of turkey season, because he's happy about it because it keeps us out of his way. Captain Charlie Gray, Gray Gulf Charters, joining us now. Hey, man.
Hey, guys. Morning. How are you?
We're good. Good. I thinking about, you know, this transitional time for us where, you know, those of us that are all focused on turkeys, at least part of my brain's starting to work towards catching some speckled trout, catching some white trout, catching some redfish. That's where you are year-round. So what's going on here this time of year at the island?
Yeah, it's a good time down here. And, of course, I was talking with Commissioner Blankenship, and they're talking about implementing, kind of like we do in snapper season, if we have bad weather days that you can't hunt, let's say, that maybe – drawing turkey season out till somewhere around the third week in July. No, it's doing better down here. Things are trying to get where they're supposed to be. We've had a lot of fresh brown water this year again, but I was looking at the Claiborne numbers compared to last year that you can do on there on the chart there. And basically we're right where we were last year. So with that in mind, we should be getting things good. There are pockets of clean water. I hear pockets on the eastern shore. There's pockets, you know, here, there, and yon, but it's nothing's totally cleaned up yet, you know, where we can be consistently going to the same spots. But all that rain we got, you know, middle of the week has still got to come down here like the rest of the state does. And I think maybe, hopefully, we get a clear week next week, and we get on these good post full moon tides. We got a full moon today, and then we can maybe move this water out of here and get on a good spring bite.
What about the water clarity to the west? Is it good to the west? Let's say Dolphin Island Bridge to the west,
to the northwest quicker. That's what we always talking about. The local rains don't really affect that area up, you know, by Alabatry West and that area. It's pretty good. It's good up on the Gulf Beach. There's good salinity out on the Gulf Beach, especially on the east side. With the south wind starting to blow back, it'll do nothing but help us. But those trout, you know, wanting to start spawning here with the full moon in April, should, you know, try to get on that Gulf Beach for too long and make the fun that Sean and I have done in the past, get out there with some croakers and really infuriate them. So. But the water's getting better. It is.
We got you tell you what, we got to get our financing options together to go buy some croakers or get that 8-foot net of mine out and start dragging because, you know, it's been, I don't know, it's live bait's expensive. Gas is more money, diesel is more money, and live bait is more money.
Yeah, the bait guys that have had bait here in the spring and in the winter have had to go up 50 cents to a dollar a dozen just because of the price of fuel, which, I mean, it makes sense. It passes down, sure. As we always said. We're not going to get in that conversation, but it passes down to the consumer, and here we are.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it the whole way to live bait. I mean, if you're talking about going through our whole economy, there it is. But, yeah, I do like a couple things. First of all, so freshwater, I mean, it's not – like you said, last year, I mean, we've actually been a little drier overall this year than we were last year, but that's not saying much.
That's down here.
Yes. But the situation with the freshwater, I mean, April is a time you expect some high rivers, right? Let's talk about finding fish. You said keep moving. Do you think it, what is your thought here? Do those trout schools that are coming together, the spawning trout schools, are they moving away? If freshwater comes into an area, do you think they're going somewhere else and relocating, or are they just really tough to catch because they've got that muddy water on top?
I've thought about that a lot. I think they relocate temporarily. I think they follow the salinity. They follow the bait. And what I've noticed in watching them at night and the lights around the island, you can go out there one night and there's rain minnows galore up on top. Even if there's some fresh, there's rain minnows up there. If there's rain minnows there, the trout will be there eventually. They come check it. They follow that bait. And I think the salinity has a lot to do with that. But, you know, these fish that we've talked about over the years, they can't be going very far because right. They come in back and forth, back and forth. So if you're up in, let's say, Grand Bay and you get a lot of fresh water that influxes in, and those fish are going to go find somewhere deeper. But I think as the shrimp move and the bait move and the minnows move, so do the trout. So the salinity has a lot to do with that, yeah.
Okay, so just because, you know, you're on them on a Saturday and the conditions are changing doesn't mean you're going to find them back there on Sunday. I mean, you're going to have to figure out. It may
right.
be close,
right.
but where's
you
the closest
go
good
check.
Water? Right, but then you got to figure out where's the closest good water to that, right?
Right, yeah, look for clean pockets, and there'll be a pocket somewhere. I've noticed that this year especially, as more water's coming down the bay, you know, that barge channel acts as a diverter off, and if you get a bit of fresh water, it will divert that water towards, you know, to the west, towards Mississippi, as does the ship channel. It'll keep it away from the island. Now, the ship channel, it's so different over there. When that influx comes down, it really heads more south as opposed to heading, you know, through Grants Pass and under the bridge. But little things like that matter just to divert the water. But when we get a big influx from upstate, you know, Montgomery South or whatever, it's going to affect everything. And these good tides, especially when we had these nip tides like we had this week, mm-hmm. the water just doesn't move.
Yeah, now we get some moving water, get some exchange. You talked about the because, I mean, right now we're thinking about a hard bottom for spawning trout. That hard bottom can come in the shape of oysters or, you know, in grass beds and those kind of places. But that front beach, man, like you mentioned, it's pretty magical. Do you think we're hitting, like, somebody like me that doesn't start paying attention until late in May or maybe June on that? Am I missing something? Do you think it's happening there already, maybe in an April setting?
I think they stay out there. I don't think they go far. I've had people tell me certain areas where they went, and they'll be going there in December and January, and how you approach that fishery is, you know, mostly people are using plastics at that time of year and a real slow presentation, mirror lures or something to that effect. But I think those fish don't go far. I think they stay in the general area because you know how those fish look. Those gulf-sized trout, side trout, have a different scale pattern. They come, they're more silver. They have different appearance. You can tell a bay trout versus a trout that's come from the Gulf side. So those fish are staying in that saltier water.
And do you think
most of their life, I think, for a long time, until something pushes them out there and they stay.
So I guess that sand bottom on the front side is just as good for spawning as like a hard bottom on the north side or oyster bottom on up into the sound.
Reading stuff from the guys in Texas and that have done a lot of studies, they actively go to a sand beach is where they want to go, rub their bellies,
right,
to get the eggs out. Now, same with the grass beds and to me, and then some kind of hard bottom. You know, I don't think they linger in the mud as much as they may in the wintertime, obviously. But
right.
They get out there, and I think they like that hard bottom. And I think people that aren't going to tell you are hitting them in February and March on that Gulf Beach as they're fishing for redfish. And, you know, but they're not using the same baits as they try to catch pompano and whiting and those things. So they're not fishing for trout. But I think those trout are in that general beach area somewhere, yes.
On the west end of the island, would the water be clear right now on the outside on the west end? Or is it,
it has been, Mike, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been really – I was surprised how it's brown on the sound side, and you go over just to some of the, you know, R and S streets, you know, not even toward the far west end, and the water was noticeably cleaner. I mean, and as the sun would shine through it, you could see the clean water. You could know it's like kind of amazing that it didn't push around. Now the farther west, sometimes you're getting that influx that's coming from Mississippi, from, you know, north in Grand Bay and that area. So sometimes as you get closer to the tip of Dauphin Island on the west end, you get dirtier water just as you do on the east end of Dauphin Island. But then once you cross the ship channel and get on that on the Baldwin County side, the water's clean as it could be. The water on the Baldwin County side right now is incredibly beautiful. I think the salinity is like 36, 38. It's clean, clean water. And the minute you cross that ship channel, salinity goes back to the lower 20s.
Yep. All right, up against the break, coming back. More with Captain Charlie Gray, Gray Gulf Charters, and man who does his fishing work around Dauphin Island, giving us a lesson of what the conditions are if you're going to head down. Maybe you got a little Easter Eve reprieve. Go down and catch some trout. Good tide cycle. Be right back. Back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you all along. Hey, good to talk to our buddy Captain Charlie Gray, Gray Gulf Charters, talking Dauphin Island. But hey, we're talking the bigger, lower end of the bay, too. Because, I mean, this discussion we're having during the news break there, too, about kind of how the water moves. Captain Gray.
A lot of people don't know how the water moves.
Yeah, here we go. Here comes the river system down, the Mobile Tensaw Delta, spilling out the fresh water. How does it travel through the bay? Where does it go? Is it even? Is it one side versus another?
It seems to me, and like we had discussed, as the water comes down Mobile Bay, everything filters deeper, darker to the west. It seems like the fresh water, the dirtier water, and is it because of the bar system of Dixie Bar keeping water that, you know, I don't know. It's a very interesting, good question for some of the guys at the Sea Lab maybe that study that. But why does the water stay, you know, you never see, hardly ever, maybe in the summer, see some beautiful, beautiful clean water at Sand Island. It's hard to find unless we've had just no rain upstate whatsoever. But it doesn't seem to go too far to the east all the time. There are times it does, of course, when it gets a big influx, but with the south and southeast wind blowing that cleaner water over, and with no system, you know, anything east of there, no bay delta system east of there, all their water stays more salty and more clear. And so we seem to get the worst of it.
Yeah, I agree. It's always gone. When that water comes down the Mobile Bay, it always comes out and goes to the west. I've never seen it go to the east, unless you, like you're talking about, you get a really super bad influx of fresh water and it comes out, and you'll have, you know, it'd be fresh for a pretty good ways south of the lighthouse out there. But rarely do you see it go very far, more than about a mile to the east. Usually you go a mile to the east and water clears up and it's fine.
Well,
the
overall currents, yeah, right, of the Gulf of Mexico, yeah, are to the east. That's the, I mean,
to the west.
Yeah, to the west, coming,
right,
from the east, going to the west. I mean,
right,
everything wants to move. If we let our islands do what they want to do, they'd all move north and west,
yes,
over time. You know, that's where, right, they go long term, a lot longer than my lifetime. But
and you got to put all that together when you go on fishing down around the island and figure out, well, where's the water, the muddy water going? Where can I go to find some clear water? Like you was talking about on the east side of the ship channel, the water's beautiful over there, you know? So that would be a good place you'd want to go look for trout this time of year. Go to the east instead of going to the west sometimes. But over to the west, like you say, around Balabatry and down that way, it clears up down there too. So, yeah, you know, yeah, there's just pockets that you just have to find and know where that water generally goes when it comes out the bay.
There was a time this during March that there was a clean pocket up around the Grand Hotel, just in that there was one big pocket of clean water, and it was full of fish.
Yeah.
And then if you got outside that pocket, there was nothing. And eventually that pocket, like a high pressure coming across the U.S., the pressure came. Eventually that pocket moved around, and it did. The fish stayed with it. Eventually it got taken out by so much fresh water, but that just shows you an interesting aspect of how the fish react to that cleaner, saltier water that's got bait in it.
That's right. And there's so many variables, too. You take over the last few days we've had, or last week, you know, we've had a lot of 30-mile-an-hour south winds blowing, you know, and that changes everything. And then you get it and it turns around, blows out of the east 20, 30 miles an hour, and that changes everything. And then when you get it out,
I take all that. I hate when it comes out of the west and the northwest, that's when I start cringing. Southwest, because I know that the next river over, of course, is you know, the Mississippi. And as you get that 2 days, you know, 48 hours worth of nonstop 30-knot winds, 20-knot winds blowing, you're getting all that mud pushed back up here that we pushed out. So that southeast, I love that south and southeast wind. It sure, that helps.
It helps
a lot.
It does. Sure does. So all that makes a variable as to where you're going to go fishing this time of the year is what we're getting around to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want to
get across. You got to stay. And that's the other thing that's been recently is trying to get behind the wind and having to go, you know, the days you had a north, you've got to run across it, cut back over and try to, you know, keep your people comfortable and stay up, you know, somewhere with north protection. The same as we do in the summertime when it's blowing out of the south or the east, you got to find some kind of protection. You can't get out in the bay some days like that in the summertime. So that's been our other hindrance, you know, the wind changing every day. And some days like earlier this week, it changed. It starts off in south or east, and before you know it, it's blowing out of the north, and by this afternoon it'll be blowing out of the southwest. So
yeah. And it's not a real big problem when the water's good. The water's clean. You can always find a place to go. But when the water's muddy and fresh like it is right now, it makes a big difference.
You're right. In the summertime, when the south wind's been blowing and we've got a pretty good influx, we've got good tides, we've got, you know, you're falling out in the morning, coming in the vice versa, falling out in the afternoon and coming in the morning, you know, you're, if you get some bad winds out of the east, west, whatever, north even, sometimes in the summer, and the bay gets churned up, well, give it a day or two and it'll settle back out because all that salt water's still in there.
It's That's right.
It's churned up in that shallow water. This time of year, we don't have that luck because that coming down the bay is coming down the bay. And it's like we've talked about before over the years. It seems like since they opened some of these dams up in North Alabama, Central Alabama, we're getting more fresh water than we used to. Especially in the fall, the guys in the Delta will tell you something's changed here in the last, you know, 5-10 years.
Well, longer than that. But yeah, definitely, I mean, I know some people that hunt on the river, and Sean attests this, he knows up by his camp up there. I mean, they haven't been able to hunt in about 4 or 5 years, hardly. I mean, they might get a week here or a week there to hunt. And other than that, the property's been underwater that they hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about from November, December, all the way through to June, July sometimes.
I saw some guys talking about that fish up in Chippewa and Singleton and that area, about the river up there, and they said, call us back in July.
That's right. Yeah, but I mean, they missed their hunt.
By the way, side note, so I make sure no Chippewa anymore. Just make sure everybody knows.
No more Chippewa.
Don't go in Chippewa.
No,
cameras galore.
Yeah, and tickets galore. So just not that I've ever been in there, have any idea about it. But
I got pictures of you, Sean.
Not me. How would I know how to get in there? You know, Charlie, I want to quickly also talk about your perspective fishing as much as you do, obviously being a guide, Dauphin Island. Where are we with – do you have any anecdotal report on the trout limits? Do you think – are you seeing any change in the population or the size? Do you feel like – there's been enough time. Like, what's your feeling? What's your gut feeling on this?
Well, here's the good thing. Everybody quit complaining, finally. So,
yeah.
Maybe that'll help us. I think it's too soon yet, and maybe, you know, Colonel Bannon can answer that question a little better, but I think we're still early. I think it's going to be, you know, as we've talked about in the past, too, you sometimes get these bad winters. Like, last winter, this past winter was not bad at all. We had a very mild winter. Last year, we were having freezes in February and March. Does that affect the trout population that have already started making their move into more shallow water? And do you kill off X amount? You know, this is what happened after the oil spill sometime over in Louisiana when they lost in Texas. They lost all this fish. So how long is it going to take till we start recognizing? I'd say 6 or 8 years, 6 years, you know.
Okay, so it's too soon. I mean, your opinion is just too soon.
I think it's too soon. I mean, Scott may state differently. It seems to something seems to have helped the flounder all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And maybe that shutdown over there that they're doing, because now that Louisiana and Texas and Florida are starting to do the same thing, they're going to have a commercial and recreational shutdown of flounder fishing. You know, the trout seemed to be larger last year, last summer. Does that make a difference? I don't know. We've still got nets, and so some of the big fish are still out on the Gulf Beach, and they're going to be, you know, incidental bycatch from the net boats out there. Louisiana and Mississippi have taken that out, so they sometimes get bigger fish over there. Florida especially does. But I think it's too soon to know if our limits have made a difference. You know, I think people are still using treble hooks, and treble hooks are still getting embedded down the smaller fish's mouth, so you're still losing an amount of fish due to that. So, but I don't know yet, Sean. I don't know the numbers.
Well, okay. Just wanted to get your perspective on it. Yeah. All right.
I thought Scott Bannon had talked about 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Is about what he thought that it was going to take. I think 4 to 6 years or something like that, and then they'd know more what's going on.
Because we're only 2 into it right now, so we still, take some time. But it's got to help. In my opinion, it's got to help.
Well, it's not going to hurt. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to hurt the resource. But all right, before we finish up here, folks want to get a trip booked with you. I mean, it couldn't be more prime than right now to start talking speckled trout fishing. So how they do it?
Now's the time. I'm at 251-379-5067, Charlie at GreyGulfCharters.com, www.GreyGulfCharters.com, or Captain Charlie Fishing on Instagram. Follow us. Let's go fishing. Let's go catching. Let's go chasing. Let's have some fun.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you. We'll get you back soon.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good day.
See you later, Charlie.
Captain Charlie Gray. We'll be right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. And as mentioned, as we were in the last segment, joining us now, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Colonel Scott Bannon. Good to talk to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's two of my favorite guys to spend the next few minutes with, or at least that's what I'm saying in the
interview. So he's wise in those ways. Good to talk to you, and it's been had a conversation at the Mobile Boat Show when people were getting ready and thinking about fishing season. Not that it ever ends around here, but now, I mean, it's here. I mean, it's. I imagine this weekend, Easter weekend, it's going to be busy.
Well, you know, it's always weather dependent, but it's. If it's a nice weekend, it's a nice weekend to fish. There's no doubt about that. And I will tell you, lately, if you looked at any social media post related to fishing, if you're a sheephead fishing fan, you've had great opportunities. We've seen great pictures of that, and some trout and redfish, and you know, we're headed into snapper season here before too long.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that. Let's take a little tour through Bay Snapper, as some people call sheephead. It's been the sheephead pictures, like you said, have been not just volume. They've been some monsters, Scott.
Well, we have a pending state record. I can't make it official yet, but I'm going to give the closest terminology I can to in the science world. We call it, it's a hoss.
Yes, and, it is.
So, and it's breaking a record that was broken last year. So we've seen a lot of great fish.
It is, and I wonder about that too. So we have the slug of fresh water in the mix right now. But if people will get, you know, so the gas rigs maybe inside the bay may be a little tougher, but, you know, we've talked about it before. You come out and you go east, a little bit offshore, those things are full of sheep's head.
They are. We've seen, when the weather is cooperative, we've seen a lot of activity around those rigs. And at the Perdido Pass Bridge there in Orange Beach, I actually used our boat ramp camera one day, and it was raining, and the boat ramp was overloaded with trucks and trailers, and I was wondering, I said, where are these people? And then I turned the camera to the bridge, and I'm not exaggerating, you could have hopped from boat to boat across Perdido Pass. It was, you know, we always use that as a reference, but you barely had room to get your line down next to your boat.
Well, that's unbelievable.
It's a good sign. You know, and talk about this too. So last time we talked, we were at the boat show. People getting boats, getting ready to go fishing. Part of that process to go fishing is putting that boat in the water. So a subject we've talked about in the past with you, let's just kind of take a general tour through the state of boat ramps, you know, like a State of the Union, but for you, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, the state of boat ramps in South Alabama, Baldwin County, Mobile County. What news items are out there?
Well, there's a couple of good things. Let's start at the causeway. As our okay. State Lands Division recently opened the Middleton boat ramp directly across from the battleship. It's a very nice ramp, nice new decking on the piers there, a lot of good parking. So that provides you excellent access. You take a right and go under the bridge. You're in the saltwater area. You stay north of the bridge. You're in the Amazon of Alabama and fishing in the Delta. So great opportunities from there. Excellent ramp. Very, very proud of that one. As we go east, we're working with the city of Daphne to make some improvements to the Diala boat ramp over there, supplying some of the sport fish dollars, which are your dollars. It's the people's money to make the parking a little better and make a handicap accessible kayak launch, because I don't know if you've noticed lately, but kayaks seem to be a very popular fishing platform.
Got so that right.
We're trying to be supportive of that as we repaired the parking lot at the Weeks Bay Reserve for the Fish River boat ramp. We recently received a contract to make some repairs to the Pines boat ramp, which is on Fort Morgan Road. It's a very small boat ramp, but it allows some access for the local community there. We're doing some repairs that should probably be done before Memorial Day weekend. And we are looking at the launch from the ICW Baldwin County. They're beginning to wrap that project up. It's my understanding that it's open to allow people to launch.
That's a big ramp, right?
Multi-million-dollar project.
So, is that that's Mike was saying? That's that big one, right?
That's the big ramp.
Yes, 200 parking spots there. Great project by Baldwin County. Our goal is that helps eliminate some of the parking congestion, like at Cotton Bayou, which is one of our most popular.
That's what I was fixing to ask you about Cotton Bayou. So I mean, that's got to help. I mean, it's so close.
Well, if you're considering coming on to the island down the Foley Beach Express, and you're hauling a 30-foot boat with two or three engines, and you have your big monster truck, and you want to get into the Orange Beach traffic, get down to the congested boat ramp and possibly not have a parking spot, then go right ahead. I would take the turn, go under the Foley Beach Express bridge, go to the launch, and excellent ramps. Very well laid out boat ramps, lots of parking, and I would enjoy that boat ride about an extra 15 minutes around to the Gulf of Mexico and avoid the boat traffic. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for a lot of people to utilize that.
Actually, we got to start thinking about this. Extra 15 minutes boat ride, that's another $20 gallons of gas, that's another $100.
Yeah, if you're driving that, if you're pulling that boat, I don't know, it can be pretty bad too.
Or if you turn that into, I can sit in traffic and get down to that boat ramp and not have a parking spot and still go back.
Yeah, I guess that $100 is not bad.
45 minutes getting nothing done. Let's launch and go enjoy the day.
Yeah, I agree.
And a few other projects on Dolphin Island. We've provided some sport fish dollars and some Gamesa money to help the town of Dolphin Island revamp the Little Billy Goat Hole boat ramp. They've redone the parking. They're going to redo the docks themselves. They did some dredging. It's going to be a lot of improvement. You're going to see a paved parking with outlined spaces. That's going to be a great addition there. And then they just pushed in the slab on Dolphin Island for what they're calling the DeSoto Landing boat ramp. It's going to be, as everybody knows, the icons on Dolphin Island, the Water Tower and Circle K.
Yes.
you turn right at Circle K, and there will be a boat ramp at the near the end of the road there that's going to probably have 30 boat trailer parking spots and a nice ramp that's going to be easily accessible to the Gulf and to the Mississippi Sound area. I think they're anticipating that being done here within the next month.
That would be awesome.
That's going to be a big deal for a lot of folks here. I mean, that's accessing. I mean, you're as close as Aloe Bay, right? I mean, you come out there.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and then we do have. I just received the contract for some other Gamesa funds that will be used to revitalize Big Billy Goat Hole or Billy Goat Hole boat ramp. We're working on the permitting phase of that, it takes some time for that. But we're going to totally redo Billy Goat Hole. We're going to take those ramps out, move it out a little bit to provide a better turning radius, and so that you're not crossing multiple lanes of traffic. Put better docks in there, the ones with the flow-through decking. They're going to be wider. They'll be ADA compliant. We're going to put in some ADA parking spots, an elevator for the concession stand restroom area because it's a little bit challenging for folks that are in wheelchairs to get to the restroom. We're going to add that. We're going to make some adjustments to the parking and maybe to some lighting down there. So it's going to take some time for that because we do need to work around the busy seasons, but you will begin to see some change there within this next year.
So pushing it out, I'm trying to picture this. So would the slabs go further back, or would the area before you actually get to the back down ramp go further out? What does that look like?
We'll increase the flat surface area approximately 30 feet to the north.
So, oh, wow. Again, that's a lot.
Yes, because right now there are times when people turn and they cross both lanes of traffic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's a safety problem. Most boats will now be able to, trucks and trailers will be able to turn and not encroach into the road if we move that out about another 30 feet and then start the ramp. And I think that'll help speed things up.
That's a great idea.
There are two ramps there that most bigger boats like to use and two that they can't because of the angle.
That's
so
right.
All of these ramps will flow better so that if you're a big boat, you can launch at all four spots. So it'll be a great improvement. We'll have, again, the flow-through decking so that when the water level rises and the waves come in, that's what damages the docks, those waves hitting the docks. So we found with the flow-through type decking, we don't have that damage as much. That water, those waves can break and dissipate through the docks. So we think they'll live a little longer once we get those redesigned and built.
So do they float, or does just water
flow,
go through?
Flow through.
Just flow through.
Fixed. They'll be the standard fixed on the piling. And they'll have the 42-inch piles so that you can pull your boat up there. You can tie your boat to the piles. You can use those to help pull yourself in and out of the boat. Currently, those docks are flat, and it does make it a little challenging to climb out. And you put cleats down there, and people steal them, or they fall off, or they're
steal them. Wait a second, Director Matt. People stealing the state's cleats off the dock.
Well, here.
Y'all are a bunch of animals.
Engineers about boat ramps. I said, think of the dumbest possible thing that can occur at a boat ramp, and somebody will go one step further.
Well, I can't disagree with
that. There's no doubt about that.
And that flow through, I mean, that's the stuff y'all have been over time, right? Replacing, because I've seen it on different launches from the Causeway elsewhere.
Yes.
You know what I like about the flow through, I guess, to not have them get messed up in the storm, but it has a better grip on your shoes. That stuff that's on
it
top,
does.
it's a non slip. You got kids or whatever, it's good.
The sun doesn't degrade it like the lumber, so it's we have found that that's a much better application instead of just using lumber. At the launch, they used Ipe, which is in the ironwood family. It's extremely strong and durable. So those docks down there, even though they're not a flow-through decking, they're in a protected area, and that Ipe is it's hammer hard. It's that stuff's tough to work with, but should last a long time. So they did a great job with that.
I do like the fact that, so people picturing what the director's saying, so the entirety of the flat area before you get to the ramps at Billy Goat Hole goes to the north. So people don't have the nose of their truck hanging in, you know, hanging in the westbound traffic, you know?
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Some days east and westbound traffic.
Yeah.
Yes, because it is problematic there. And then we're going to work on making the parking more efficient down there and put some new aggregate down where the back-end area is for trailer parking. So there's a lot of positives that are going on in the boating access area. The Mobile County, we're going to enter into some discussions with them about how to create a boat ramp at Cedar Point. They just recently opened the Cedar Point Fishing Pier, which is a fantastic fishing access location, and they want to put in a boat ramp up there. And so we're going to work with them to ensure that we get an efficient and safe in a design.
Is it the one across from the? Is it the old, you know, the one that's on the east side of the road there, or is it going to be on the west side with the pier?
It will be on the east side, which is
Where that old back
due to the weather.
Okay, yeah, old ramp there.
We're going to work with them. Yes, the old one was, if it wasn't a slick, calm day, you were in for some trouble over there.
Oh, yeah.
A ship wake coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Swamp you.
Yeah.
So we'll do some designs to mitigate any of that type activity. And now that the house trailer's gone, that was Mr. McRae's home there,
right.
So that has been removed. There's a fair-sized piece of property that with some good design work, I think you can get 40 to 50 trailer parking spots in there.
Oh,
without
man.
Too much difficulty.
Yeah.
No, I think that's – I mean, as you talked about having provided, for example, the launch on the ICW in Baldwin County providing relief for Cotton Bayou, I would also argue – not argue, but just say that having a ramp there at Cedar Point that's protected with that many parking places will help out some at Billy Goat Hole, because if I'm trailering down, it really is – I might as well just launch right there, you know? I mean, it's not that far to cut across where I'm going anyways. Sure. If I'm going out in the Gulf or if I'm going trout fishing, forget about it. I'm where I want to be.
People leave from Jemison's Bait Shop if they have a bait boat that can operate in that shallow water, and they'll go fishing offshore from there. So we think that there will be offshore access as well as Mississippi Sound and Mobile Bay. So that's going to be a great addition. Again, let's talk timelines. It's probably going to take us a couple of years to get through all that. There's permits, there's, you know, getting the funding sources, but we'll get some design work done. And then you move to the Bayou, and Bayou Battery is partnered with Mobile County to do the City Docks project, which is a tremendous project where they're going to redo that whole area down there. They're going to get a world-class boat ramp. They're going to have dock spaces. They're going to redesign the traffic pattern and the parking. It's going to be a first-class place to go launch a boat. So within the next 4 to 5 years, South Alabama is going to have boating access points that are top notch, and I'm very proud of the partnerships that we have between the state and local communities, and using the federal dollars, the people's money, to help do these things.
Coming right back, more with Director of Alabama Marine Resources Scott Bannon right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, as we wrap it up here on this edition of the show. Continue our conversation with Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon. And I guess we're talking about all the ramps and the state of the boat ramps in the last segment. If somebody was listening to all that and said, all that sounds cool, but I can't keep up with that, where do you go to get like a map of those boat ramps?
So I can't keep up either, Sean, so I use a couple of things. If I'm looking for fish size and limits, I go to a place called the Fish Rules app because it's quick and accessible. So for boating access in Alabama, if you go to outdooralabama.com, there's a boating access page, and it will give you the freshwater ramps and the saltwater ramps. It'll give you the location. Most of them have a picture. It'll give you directions, and we try and keep that relatively updated. So they're all there and available to you.
All right, good stuff. So we can't have this conversation without, even though it's funny, I saw, I guess this last week, a couple of news groups or websites are like, update on, you know, it's Alabama's snapper season dates. I want to say, hey, we talked about those way back with the director. But if people were not listening back then, let's repeat where we are with snapper season 2022 for Alabama.
So we're going to open the red snapper fishing for the private anglers, which is you and I, and then our state-licensed commercial party boats that are only eligible to go out to 9 miles. That'll open May 27th. It's the Friday of Memorial Day weekend, and we're going to do the four-day weekends, Friday through Monday again. Still a two-fish limit, 16-inch minimum length, and a couple of things is have your fishing license, your Gulf Refish endorsement, and the new thing this year, it's a federal requirement to either have a descending device or a venting tool, and you can go online and search those. A descending device is this interesting device that you hook onto the fish, and it, if you're going to return the fish to the water, when you put it back down, it drops it at the depth at which it is caught. And a venting tool you would just use on those fish that where you can deflate the air bladder to give this fish an opportunity to return to the water. So we're going to fish about 1 million pounds again this year. Last year that resulted in a 124-day season, which was kind of unique based on some of the weather patterns and the way that the weather would come in. But we were open through the end of the year. But remember, the number of days we're open is based on the amount of effort and when people get a chance to go.
Yeah, and that can be changed by, obviously, weather. It could be changed by, discussion with gas prices, you know. So that's part of it. I want to go back for a second, though, on the venting or the descending device. So I've been looking at this return them right or something to that effect, right? That's this device, a little more high tech, to lower that fish back down to that depth before you release it, right?
It is. And if you'll go to the Return 'em Right webpage, you can participate in that, and they will send you one for free. So if you buy one on Amazon, I think it's about $40. But if you go to the Return 'em Right, they'll mail you one for free for doing the training and understanding what it does. And so I would encourage people to go ahead and do that soon so that you're ready for this season. And or a venting tool is a certain size hypodermic needle. It is not an ice pick or a knife. That doesn't count. It has to be a hollow tube. And they're also commercially available at your marine stores and to be able to vent that. But we encourage people to go to watch a YouTube video on the proper insertion of that deflation tool. It is not the stomach which is coming out of the mouth of the fish. That is not the air bladder. That is their stomach that is pushed by the air bladder. So we do remind people to be careful and do that appropriately.
Yeah, so, I actually over the years have multiples on because you know how things get lost on a boat. And ones I've had before, just the venting tool, they're very expensive. You got one, you know, up there where you drive. You got one maybe in the back, you know, and they work pretty good. But I am interested. I've never used this. I'm going to try this device this year. I've never used one, but I've signed up to try to do this and use the high-tech way to do this.
Sure, and we would love to hear the feedback on what people think about how they've been used and what they think it's going to do for them. Because dead discards is a problem, and I said I was going to start my new discussion that culling is killing. We've all noticed the challenges of the sharks and the dolphins, and yes. So there is a little bit to be said that when you use a descending device, you go ahead and drop that fish back down to where it was and give it an opportunity to swim away quickly and get in the reef. So there's some benefits to that. But I would encourage anglers to consider you're going to get a lot of opportunities. We're still going to fish the same 1 million pounds as maybe not do the high grading and culling that they've been doing. It is a little harder to catch those bigger fish now because we've been in multiple years of state management where we're focused on the number of days. So you're going to catch closer to legal size fish, whereas the first couple of years we caught a lot of great big fish.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's not a depletion. We're not. We just met with Dr. Sean Powers from the University of South Alabama, got our reef zone evaluation, and you'll hear the term localized depletion. And I want to change that a little bit. It is not depleted. There are plenty of fish there. It is a growth, growth. My lisp. I have to make sure I say that correctly. It's a growth depletion. We are catching a lot of fish near shore of the legal size and bigger, so it's just harder to catch some of those big fish. But there are still lots of young fish on all those reefs. That all the survey work that we do still says that the population is still in good shape, and it's just a difference in what size fish are populating those reefs closer to shore.
Good stuff. We're going to have to do another primer on all this when we get maybe next month, right, as we get closing in on opening a snapper.
Sure. And we look forward to seeing everybody out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure there'll be people, you know, catching all the other fish too, and taking the if the weather cooperates this weekend, taking the boat for a ride. So we appreciate it. And once again, people want more information, boat ramps, limits, all that kind of stuff. Best to go to Outdoor Alabama.
Go to OutdoorAlabama.com and get all the information you need there. And I wish everybody a safe and happy Easter.
Hey, you too. Happy Easter to you and your family. And, yeah, we'll do this all again next week. Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bennett, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks,
right.
Scott.
And we'll be back next week. Hopefully some more stories out there. Reminder, too, your pictures, your thoughts, your commentary. Heck, look at all the videos we have up and information over at facebook.com/FMTalk1065Outdoors.
Yes.
So because there's the regular page, and then there's the Outdoors page. So, yeah, the regular page is good. But if you want Mike and I stuff and get involved with that, make sure you like that page, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on Facebook, and you can check it out there. All right. We'll do it again next week. Y'all have a great one.